thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
About 10 years ago, I was doing marriage counseling with a young couple. A couple who had two young kids. And from the outside, right, everything looked fine. He was a faithful member of the church, still is, serving in every capacity that was available to him and to her. And I knew, right, because I've had conversations with him, right, that there was certain struggles in his life, right? But when he first told me of the struggles, they weren't enough for me to suggest strongly, this would be a good time for you to step down from the ministries that you're leading. Right? Because it seemed that he received my suggestions and that he was applying them. And then at times I would touch base with the wife and everything seemed fine. And one day, right, the wife calls me and said, you know what, we need to meet. Because my husband is experiencing health issues. He seems to be under a lot of stress, and I really don't know the root cause of the stress. He eats well because I prepare his meals. He spent time with the kids, but recently he's been real short with them. And before it gets out of control, I'd like to meet with you. So I'm there meeting with them. And as I pray, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of him and all of a sudden he starts crying. Right? And all of a sudden, right, it's in my own heart, I go, what's going on here? Right? And all of a sudden, the wife is concerned. She's like, you know, what's going on with them? And all of a sudden, the problem that I had spoken with him many years earlier, right, had grown out of control, right? When they first got together, he had some credit card debt, right? And little by little, because he wanted to provide for what the family needed, so he would put things on credit and extend himself a little bit more. He was the one paying the bills, so the wife really didn't know where they were with their finances. And he started taking out small loans in order to try to consolidate and make it a little bit easier. He was just covering the minimum payments on everything. And all of a sudden, he got to this place in his life of managing the dysfunction that it has started to crush him, right? And he said, right, it's like, if I would have said something earlier, I felt that I would have been disappointing my wife and the family, and that I would not be seen as the provider. And then the wife just, with an amazing gesture of love, just knelt in front of him and said, "You should have just told me sooner." Right? And all of a sudden, together, they had a plan by the time we left, and they met with a financial person, and immediately, within a short period of time, they reorganized all of their debt and finances, right? And about 2.5 years later, they were debt-free, right? And I say that story, right, because for most of us, right, when we are hiding the secret, right, it's like there's that season of anguish, right, where we are presuming that we are withholding information in order to keep safe our family, right? And all of a sudden you find that the minute you share it, it's almost like, I should have done that so much sooner. I should have just went and stopped trying to cover it up. Right, because at this point it was affecting his physical life, and part of what we're going to be looking at today is, well, how can we move from anguish to joy, right? And here's the thing, right? From the outside, a faithful believer in Jesus Christ, right? In every possible area of his life, one would say he is an upstanding believer, Christian, right? But then there's this one little secret, right? And sometimes it's a secret that we think, oh, this really isn't going to bother anybody. It's really not going to affect anybody. And as you heard in the story, right, it not only affected his health, it affected the relationship with the kids, right? And that's what happens when we try to manage our sin, right? And we're going to be looking at Psalm 32, the one that Micah read for us. And the thing about this particular psalm, it doesn't tell us what the events in David's life was that caused this psalm to be written. Not like Psalm 51, that we know that that's a result of his relationship with Bathsheba and then the killing of her husband, Uriah, right? But when you look at these two psalms, they almost go hand in hand, right? Almost like two bookends. Right, and here's what I'm going to ask of us, right? Because this is what the psalm is asking of you and me today, right? Are we willing to contemplate where we are today? To reflect in reference to the things that we might be keeping to ourselves. And even if we're not sharing it with the people that are around us, are we at least going to God and sharing it with Him? Right? And this psalm, right, when you read it, it's from the point of view of an individual being forgiven. Right? And that's the position that we should read this psalm from. Right, and then there'll be moments in the psalm where there'll be reflections of when he kept his lie a secret, how he felt, but then also what happens when you share that, right? Ultimately with God, and you receive the very forgiveness that he has for you and for me. All right, so let us give our attention. A maskal of David. That word maskal, most commentators would say it's an instruction to the musical team, but it really means, right, contemplate, right, to take a pause, right, to take a deep breath in and to consider what's being presented. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whom the Spirit there is no deceit. So when you read this in the original Hebrew, that word blessed is really plural, right? So it's a blessedness. That's not even a word, right? Right? But it's something that is more than you anticipate, because again, this is David saying, this is what I have received from God, right? And again, if you think of Psalm 1 talks about how an individual can be blessed, and that individual that's blessed is because he is doing everything he can not to get into trouble, right? This particular psalm is a psalm of how you can be blessed when you are in trouble, right? And David goes out of his way to really describe sin, right? He talks about the sin of transgression. He talks about sin itself. He talks about iniquity, right? And each one of them really talk about a position that you and I have with God, right? Transgression is a boundary that has been identified, and we go out of our way to cross that boundary. Sin is falling short of or missing the mark. And iniquity has to do with man's original sin of when Adam fell. Right? So David goes out of his way to describe sin from three different points of view. Right? And as much as he shares three different forms of sin, he also provides you and me three different ways on how God takes care of that sin. Right? Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Right? And the idea there of it being forgiven is a picture of it being lifted off of you. Right? Whose sin is covered, right? And that is the covering of the shed blood, because we are in covenant relationship with God. Right? And counts no iniquity. Right? And that word count, if you have a New King James Version, you'll have there imputed, right? And that's really more of an accounting term, right? That something is not going to be held against you, right? And as a result, right, this individual, David, is saying, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Right? Now remember, this is how you and I respond after we have confessed our sin. Right? That's a place of being found out, restored, and all of a sudden you feel the weight. And at that moment, there is no deceit. Right? At that moment, I'm not trying to explain it away, to make excuses. I am before God and I'm saying, Lord, I fell short. Thank you for providing what I need. And as a result of that, I am free from the lie. I no longer have to try to keep it all together. I don't have to remember a series of tales that I told in order for me to try to work around it, right? I'm free from all of that. Right in. And then David, as a result of this realization of what God has given him, right? Because here's the thing, to be blessed is to know to the pit of your gut, right, that you are going to be okay. To be blessed is to know that you are spiritually grounded in what God has done for you. When you receive this kind of forgiveness, you as a believer can all of a sudden walk into any situation with your head held high because you know you have nothing to worry about, regardless of who's talking about you. To be set free. Right? And now David is reflecting of what his life was like before he confessed. Right? For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. Selah. Right? And there we have this musical instruction again. And Selah is to pause, right? To reflect on what we just heard, right? And, right? So when you keep silent, when you keep a secret, right? There's that little saying, you're only as sick as your secrets. Right then. He wasted away, right, trying to keep it all together and to manage it. Right. Groaning, right? It's amazing, right? Because in the Hebrew, groaning also happens in the very same place where the blessing also occurs, down in the pit of your gut, right? And all of a sudden, God takes care of whatever your problem there, right? And I know how it is when all of a sudden I'm trying to not be truthful, right? It's day and night, I'm kind of work it out, right? How's this going to work out? And really what I'm trying to do is manage the potential outcome. Right. So at that moment, I'm not trusting God. Right. I am trusting Jose and Jose alone. Right. And in the end, my best thinking is what got me there. Right. And here's the thing, right? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, I want to be like you. Lord, I want to reflect your character. Lord, draw me closer to you, right? So every time he does that, right, something of sin has to purge out of you, right? And all of a sudden, those very prayers is what's heavy on your life and my life, right? It's almost as if we have no strength, right, to keep it going, right? Ask yourself, how many times have you kept something going, right? And everything around you is saying, you know what, I should just come clean here. You just keep it going, keep it going, keep it going, right? It's like, maybe if I try for two more seconds, maybe the outcome I'm looking for, right, is going to happen. Right? And what God said is surrender. Just stop, come clean. Right? And again, the amazing part of that couple, right, and I watched it in front of my eyes, right, was the grace that the wife gave the husband, right? And that was just a glimpse of the grace that God gives you and me, right? Where all of a sudden we just come clean. And here's the thing, right? And it's not as if God doesn't know it already, right? He knows it, right? But when we come clean, all of a sudden, it's like a set of dominoes that fall, right? Because as we get it right with him, then that gives us the ability to get it right with us. And then as we get it right with us, that gives us the ability to get it right with those that are around us. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquities, I said. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquities of my sin, Selah. Right? So this is somebody who's brought to the end of themselves, and as a result of that, now I get the opportunity to confess. But here's the thing, right? It's, you can confess, but it doesn't mean that your heart is in the posture of receiving what God has for you. A lot of times you can confess, and the confession is really just to remove that tension of guilt that you might be feeling, right? And because when you confess, there's two ways you can go. Right, you can surrender totally to God, or you can confess and still try to excuse your way and manage it. Right, and what he is saying here, I acknowledged it with my whole being. I'm not covering anything up. I'm not trying to keep it all together. Right, it's, you got to remember when he sinned with Bathsheba, right? That was an entire year of him trying to work it out, right? And if this psalm represents that time in his life, right, it's, we're seeing the results of God pressing him, right? We're benefiting from what God did in his life. And here's the thing. If you're honest and you look at this psalm, you say, you know what? There's a lot of it I identify with. Right? You know, it's like when I stand here, right? And sometimes I confess something to you, right? It's, I only do that because God already did the work in my life. Right? And I'm able to give God all the credit, give God all the honor, give God all the glory, because I could not forgive myself. I could not get myself out of that hole that I dug. Right, so he's saying, I confess, I ask for forgiveness, and God provided forgiveness. I needed my iniquities to be covered, and he covered my iniquities. I needed it to be lifted off of me, and all of a sudden, you know what? Life is so much better. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayers to you at a time when you may be found. Surely, in the rush of the great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance, Selah. This is what we do after we have received the forgiveness. This is what we do in order not to fall down and follow that trail of sin. Right? He preserves me. Right? And for him to preserve me, that means I need to be in constant relationship with him. He is my hiding place. It means that I'm spending time with him, investing every moment that I have. Lord, be my God. Lord, help me not to try to manage it. Help me not to try to, you know, get my way. Lord, help me right now because my heart is full of fear and I want to do something that is probably not in line with you, but I want to glorify you, Lord. Help me. Right? To offer prayers, right, and to seek him. Right? These are not prayers Lord, if you help me out in this situation that I got myself in, I promise tomorrow I'll do better. Right? That's not what this is. Right? God's ways are not my ways. Right? And here's the thing, right? And a lot of times when we find ourselves in moments where we're trying to control the outcome, it feels as if there's a rush of water, right, that is going to swallow you up, that you have no other options, that's the only choice you have, right? And meanwhile, there is another option, right? God is our option. He's our option. He's our choice. All of a sudden, you find that if you seek him in the midst of the chaos and confusion, there's usually a moment where you can choose God and not your way. Sometimes it's like, well, let me call my friend and let me just share this issue and let me see what their suggestion is. But sometimes we don't do that because we want a particular outcome, right? We don't want to hear any other suggestions. We don't want to hear what you have to say. Right? I will instruct you and teach you and in the way you should go. Right? So here's what you have to ask yourself, right? So David went through a life experience that has transformed his life, right? And now he says, as a result of what I went through, I'm going to teach those around me. But I would even take it one step further. This is God saying to David and to everybody who's reading this, I'm going to teach you, right? I'm going to instruct you. Right, and as I teach you and as I instruct you, you go in what I have just taught you. I will counsel you, right, with an eye upon you, right? God sees where you are. God sees where I'm at. And some say that this is kind of the answer to the statement that David makes in Psalm 51, verse 13, where he says, I'm going to teach, right? And in other words, as he's seeking what God has to offer, he says, Lord, if you answer me, I promise I will teach all your people your ways as a result of this. And some say that this is the response of that. Be not like the horse or the mule without understanding, which must be curb with a bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Right? It's a horse or a mule, right? It's you have to put a bit in their mouth, a bridle, in order to lead them in one direction or another, right? You go to Israel, right? It's they have many mules there, right? To move material. And one of the things that's always been amazing to me is when a mule makes a decision that it's not going to move, it's not moving. Right. And one day we were driving through the countryside and we pulled over, right? And I saw it, right? There was this kid, right? He was trying to pull that mule, right? And he wasn't going. Right. And he was stuck in his ways, right? But sometimes that's how we are, stuck in our ways, right? Because sometimes we can't see that the only answer is, Lord, I've sinned and I sinned against you and you alone, right? And the minute those words come out of our mouth, it's almost like the weight of it just lifts up. David would say in Psalm 6, right, in reference to evenings where life would be difficult and weighing heavy, that his bed would be soaked with his tears. Right? It's just imagine the suffering that he has gone through. And it's the similar suffering that you and I go through in secret, right? We don't have to go through it alone, right? Sometimes we think, well, if I share this stuff with somebody, it's like, then they're going to not like me. Maybe they'll see a side of me that they'll want nothing to do with me. And all of that is what Satan wants in your life and in my life, to keep you isolated, right? To keep you alone, to keep you unique in your own struggle, right? And all of that is just a lie of deception. Right? He would end, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but the steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Right? His steadfast love. Right? That when you turn to him and you say, Lord, I need your help. Right? It's that he's there to provide everything that you need. Right? Like ask yourself, right? If you were to confess whatever is in your heart in reference to a sin, right? It's what's the worst that it can be? I hope not, but for some, it could be jail, right? For some, it could be the secret of a health condition. For some, it might be finances. For some, it might be a struggle with alcohol or drugs. For some, it might be infidelity. For some, it might be, you know, a double life that you've been working hard to keep under wraps, right? And so what would happen if you came clean? In relationship to what God offers you and me. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Right? To worship, to yell to the top of your lungs, Lord, I'm free. Thank you. No more do I have to cover it up. Will you lose maybe a relationship? Maybe. Will you go to jail? Maybe. Will you lose your health? Maybe. The one thing you will not lose is what God has given you, right? To be able to shout, right? It's in worship because of his steadfast love, right? And see where it says, oh, righteous, right? And that righteousness isn't something that you and I have. It's a righteousness that's been imputed upon you, right? Just like that sin was imputed, right? Not counted against you, right? Now you have a righteousness that is counted for you, right? And that's been given to you because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, right? So all of this brings us back to anguish and joy, right? And I remember that couple, right? As, right, it's the husband expected at any time, for the wife to lose it. Like he believed, like this act of grace and mercy is only happening because the pastor's in front of me. Right. But he expected that when they got in the car, that she was going to lit him up. Right. And the only thing that he would tell me weeks later is, she would say, it's going to be okay. Right? It's going to be okay. Right. And here's the thing, right? I believe that that lie and deception did not void what he had in salvation, right? Because he was a believer in Jesus Christ, right? But he had the opportunity to live in joy, but instead he was living in anguish and turmoil and just being twisted inside out, right? And so close is what's available for us in reference to joy, to be set free, right? And to live what he has for you and for me. And the thing is, right, it's you and I, if it's not us, we know somebody just like this, right? And you're looking at them, and every once in a while, you go to your friend or your family member, are you okay? I'm fine. I'm okay. Right? But sometimes they do certain things that tell you they're not okay. Could be their diet, could be their health, could be their sleep habits. Could be the very things that they are watching on their smartphone. Right? And all of a sudden, they get upset when, hey, so what are you watching, right? Or they're concerned of what's on the history on their computers, and or it could be the finances, or it could be a number of things, right? And the thing is that God wants us to be free from all of that. He wants us to live to the fullness of what he has for us on this side of the cross until he calls us home. Right? And all of that, right, focuses on what we are going to do in a few minutes, which is come to this table, right, where we're able to look at God as we approach the table and to say, Lord, if there's anything that I need to work on, right, as I draw close to you, right, Lord, let me go and take care of it. So for some of us, we might not partake of communion because we are identifying that I have a contract with sin, a contract that needs to be broken, even though all of us have contact with sin, right? And this table is also, as one would say, the line is drawn on the sand, right? And just know, right, that this is between you and God. Don't be worried about who's sitting next to you, somebody going to watch you, take, not take, because if you don't take, what, is there an issue with you that we got to talk about? It's like, don't worry about that, right? This is where it's safe for you to be who you are in the presence of God and in the presence of other sinners. Blessed is the one whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's what Christ offers you and me now, right, as we come to this table. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful. Grateful for what is found in your word. Grateful that you make a way where sometimes it seems that there is no way. And Lord, You do all of that because you love us. You love us broken. You love us dirty. You love us when we don't have our stuff together. And then as we come into a saving knowledge of who you are, you then say, would you walk with me? And Lord, for that, I just thank you. Thank you for loving us. I pray all of this in Jesus' name.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.